All right, let's dive into fly fishing terminology.
The language of fly fishing.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
So we're going to cover everything from, back cast to wine knot and everything in between.
Yeah, all those terms that you hear out on the river or maybe in the fly shop, that might be a little bit intimidating at first.
Right, exactly.
Begin to demystify them.
Yeah, and hopefully by the end of this deep
You'd
dive.
be able to, use these terms yourself and sound like you know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Maybe even impress your fishing buddies.
Here you go.
So let's get started with the gear.
Okay, let's talk tackle.
Tackle talk.
Tackle talk, that's right.
And I think the first two terms that, everyone kind of needs to know when they're getting into fly fishing are fly rod and fly reel.
Yeah, those are the essentials, right?
Right. I mean, they kind of seem similar to regular fishing gear at first glance, but
They're designed for a totally different purpose.
yeah. And maybe you could kind of break down how those are different.
Absolutely. So the fly rod, it's specifically designed to cast a weight-forward fly line, which we'll talk about more later.
Okay.
But it's all about that graceful arc, that delicate presentation of the fly, which is really the hallmark of fly fishing.
Right. Very different from, chucking a big lure out there with a spinning rod.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. And then the fly reel, it serves a different purpose as well. It's not just for holding line.
Right. Especially when you're battling like a big salmon or steelhead.
Oh, yeah.
You need that reel to really fight the
To
fish.
fight and land those big, powerful fish. That's right.
And then the source also mentioned, different materials for rods, like bamboo, fiberglass, graphite, each with their own characteristics.
Yeah, each one's got its own kind of feel, its own action.
But one material that I saw that I thought was really interesting was copolymers.
Yes, copolymers. They've really revolutionized fly fishing lines, especially when it comes to tippet.
Now, for those of us who, might not be familiar with all the terminology, what is tippet?
So tippet is that very last section of your line, the part that connects your fly to the leader.
Okay, got it.
And copolymers are so strong for their diameter, which means you can use a much thinner tippet, which is almost invisible to the fish.
So it's like a secret weapon
It is. It's a secret weapon.
to fool those clever fish.
That's right.
Now, let's move on to the art of casting.
Casting call.
Casting call.
We're going to talk about how to actually deliver that fly to the fish.
Yeah, and I'm always amazed by how fly anglers make it look so effortless, those beautiful casts.
It takes practice,
Yeah, it
but
does.
it's all about timing and technique.
The source mentioned terms like back cast, forward cast, casting arc, loading the rod.
All those things work together to create that smooth, fluid motion.
Yeah, and then they also mentioned, the importance of a narrow loop.
Yes, the narrow loop is key.
What makes that so special?
So a narrow loop, it ensures efficient energy transfer during your cast, which means you can cast further and with more accuracy.
Okay, and I'm guessing the opposite of that, an open loop is something you want to avoid.
You definitely want to avoid an open loop that's wasted energy, and it can really affect your accuracy. It also makes it much harder to control where your fly lands.
Yeah, and they can lead to those dreaded tangles, right?
Absolutely. You don't want to be spending all your time untangling your line instead of fishing.
So, yeah, we're looking for those nice tight loops for a smooth and accurate cast.
Exactly.
This is all about finesse and control.
It is.
It's like a dance almost.
It is a dance.
Now let's move on to the heart of fly fishing, the flies themselves.
Yes. Fly types and techniques.
Time to dive into the fascinating world of dry flies and wet flies.
So many different patterns, so many different techniques.
I mean, I'm guessing one floats and one sinks.
You got it. That's the basic difference.
But there's probably a lot more to it than that, right?
Whoa, there's a whole world of strategy behind presenting each type of fly effectively.
Tell me more.
So, for example, there's a technique called dead drift, which is crucial for both dry and wet fly fishing.
What's the secret to dead drift?
It's all about making your fly look like a natural insect drifting along with the current. No unnatural movements, no drag, just a perfect imitation of the real thing.
So it's like tricking those fish into thinking your fly is just a tasty little bug going about its business.
Exactly.
And then there are, so many different types of flies designed to mimic those specific
Oh,
insects.
yeah, you've got your classic dry flies, which imitate insects floating on the surface.
Right.
And then you've got your wet flies, which are designed to sink below the surface and imitate nymphs and larvae.
Got it. And the source mentioned some interesting types of wet flies, like the base bug and the popping bug.
Yeah, those are designed for attracting larger predatory fish like bass.
Oh, some fun.
They are a lot of fun.
So the popping bug, I'm guessing that one makes some noise on the surface.
It does. It's designed to make a commotion on the surface, mimicking a struggling insect.
So it's like triggering their hunting instincts.
That's right.
That's pretty cool. And then we have nymphing, which is all about fishing below the surface.
Yeah, nymphing can be super effective, but it can be a bit challenging because you can't always see your fly.
Right, so how do you know if you've got a bite if your fly is way down there?
That's where indicators come in.
What are those?
Indicators are little buoyant markers that you attach to your leader, and they'll bob or twitch when a fish takes your nymph.
Ah, so it's like having a little alarm system down there.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we've covered the gear, we've talked about casting, we've even touched on some fly types.
Yeah, this is great.
But there's so much more to explore.
I know. I'm excited to keep going. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll delve deeper into the world of fly fishing terminology.
Sounds good. I'm ready for more.
Me too.
Okay, so let's talk about where all this fly fishing magic happens.
Yeah, the waterways.
Waterways and conditions.
Waterways and conditions, that's right.
Because you can't just go fly fishing anywhere, right?
No, definitely not.
Different environments call for different techniques and different types of flies?
Right, and the source mentioned two contrasting stream types, freestone and headwaters.
Yeah, those are two classic examples.
So when I think of freestone, I kind of picture like a classic, you know, rushing river, maybe a little bit rocky.
Yeah, exactly. Freestone streams, they're known for their faster, more turbulent water, often fed by snowmelt or rainfall.
Okay, so they're kind of like those more dynamic, ever-changing environments.
That's right. They can be a little bit more challenging to fish sometimes, but they're also incredibly rewarding.
And then headwaters, I imagine, are a little bit more calm and peaceful.
Yes. Headwaters are typically smaller streams higher up in the watershed. They have a more gentle, consistent flow.
So like those crystal clear streams you might find up in the mountains.
Exactly.
And I imagine the types of fish and insects you find in each are quite different.
Absolutely. The water flow, the temperature, even the surrounding vegetation, all of that plays a role in determining which species thrive in each type of stream.
So it's like being a detective, you know, really understanding the clues of the environment to figure out what's going on beneath the surface.
That's a great way to put it.
All right, so we've got the gear, the casting, the waterways down. What's next?
Well, we can't forget about one crucial element that connects it all. Knots.
Not know-how.
Not know-how, yes.
I have to admit, that's one area where I still get a little intimidated.
I think everyone does it first.
There are just so many different knots.
There are a lot of knots, but you don't need to know them all.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Just a few essential ones will get you by.
So which ones are absolutely essential for fly anglers?
Well, the source mentioned a few key knots. The clinch knot, the blood knot, the surgeon's knot, and the nail knot.
Okay, let's break those down. What's the clinch knot all about?
The clinch knot is your go-to knot for attaching your fly to the tippet. It's simple, strong, and reliable.
Okay, got it. And the blood knot, that sounds a little intense.
It's not as scary as it sounds. No blood involved.
Good.
The blood knot is perfect for joining two pieces of leader material together. It creates a nice, smooth connection.
Okay. And what about the surgeon's knot? When would you use that one?
The surgeon's knot is another option for joining lines, especially if you're dealing with different diameters. It's super strong and reliable.
Right. And lastly, the nail knot. That one sounds a little tricky.
The nail knot is used to attach your leader to the fly line. It can be a little bit more challenging to tie, but it creates a super strong connection that won't slip.
So knowing your knots is just as important as knowing your flies and your casting techniques.
Absolutely. A poorly tied knot can mean the difference between landing a fish and losing it.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to lose a fish because of a bad knot.
Nobody does.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have. We've made some good progress.
But let's circle back to those flies for a minute.
Yeah, let's talk more about flies.
I'm really curious about those impressionistic flies the source mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Impressionistic flies, those are interesting.
What are those all about?
They're not designed to perfectly imitate a specific insect. Instead, they suggest a general shape or profile that could represent a variety of insects.
Ah, so it's like having a multi-purpose fly that can fool a wider range of fish.
That's the idea.
That's pretty cool. And then, you know, thinking about the fly lines themselves, the source mentioned different tapers like double taper and weight forward.
Yeah, fly lines can be pretty complex.
Yeah, what's the difference between those and why does it matter?
So the taper refers to how the weight is distributed along the line.
Okay.
And it really affects how the line casts.
So double taper, I'm guessing that means the weight is evenly distributed.
Yeah, double taper lines have a symmetrical taper on both ends.
Okay.
They're great for shorter casts and delicate presentations.
And then weight forward, I'm guessing that's where most of the weight is at the front end of the line.
Exactly. Weight forward lines are designed for longer casts. and they're often a bit easier for beginners to handle.
So it's all about choosing the right line for the type of fishing you're doing.
That's right. You want to match your line to your casting style and the conditions you're fishing in.
This is great stuff. Mm. It's amazing how much thought and strategy goes into every aspect of fly fishing.
It really is. It's a very nuanced sport.
Okay, I have to admit, even though we've covered a lot, I'm still a bit intimidated by some of these terms.
Don't worry, it takes time to learn it all.
Like drag and mending line.
Ah, yes, those are important ones.
What exactly do those mean and why are they important?
So drag is basically your enemy when it comes to presenting your fly naturally.
Okay.
It's that unnatural tug or pull on the line that can spook wary fish.
I see.
You want your fly to drift as naturally as possible, like a real insect.
Right. So how do you prevent drag from happening?
That's where mending line comes in.
Okay.
It's a technique where you use your rod tip to reposition the line on the water, eliminating any slack or curves that might cause drag.
Ah, so you're kind of constantly adjusting and fine-tuning the presentation.
Exactly. It's a subtle but crucial skill, especially when fishing with dry flies.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
It's incredible how much detail and nuance there is to fly fishing.
There's always something new to learn.
And speaking of learning, there's one more term I'd love to unpack. Setting the hook.
Setting the hook. Yeah, that's an important one.
It seems like there's a fine line between, you know, setting it too hard and not hard enough.
There is. It's all about timing and feel.
So how do you know when the moment is right?
You want to wait until you feel a solid tug on the line, indicating that the fish has taken the fly.
Okay.
Then give a firm but controlled lift with your rod tip to set the hook.
So it's not about brute force, it's more about finesse.
Exactly. It's about a decisive, well-timed movement.
All right, this is all making sense now.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
I'm starting to feel like I actually hold my own out on the river now.
I think you're ready.
Now let's dive into those fly types and techniques in more detail.
Yes, let's explore those flies.
Okay, so let's get into the flies.
Fly types and techniques.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about dry flies and wet flies.
Right, the basics.
Yeah.
But there's a whole world of different patterns and techniques out there.
Right, so like, remind me again, what makes a dry fly a dry fly?
A dry fly is designed to float on the surface of the water. It imitates an adult insect that has landed or emerged from its nymphal stage.
Got it. Okay.
So it sits right on top.
Okay. And then wet flies, those are the ones that sink below the surface.
Exactly. Wet flies imitate a variety of aquatic insects in their larval and pupal stages.
Okay. So how do you choose which type of fly to use? Like, is it all about matching the hatch?
Matching the hatch is definitely a key strategy in fly fishing.
Okay.
It means observing what insects are present and active in the environment, and then selecting flies that closely resemble them.
So it's like being a detective, figuring out what those fish are looking for.
That's right. You want to give them what they want.
And then trick them.
Exactly. Fool them with the perfect imitation.
Okay. And then I remember we were talking about those impressionistic flies earlier.
Yes. Impressionistic flies.
Those are the ones that aren't, you know, meant to perfectly imitate a specific insect, right?
Right. They're more about suggesting a general shape or profile that could represent a variety of insects.
So like a more general approach.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So what about some specific patterns like I saw the source mention bass bugs and popping bugs.
Yeah, those are fun ones.
Those sound fun.
They're designed for attracting larger predatory fish like bass.
Okay.
They often have large buoyant bodies, create a lot of commotion on the surface.
So it's like really triggering that predatory instinct.
That's the idea.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then what's the difference between a bass bug and a popping bug?
A popping bug is specifically designed to make a distinct popping sound when you retrieve it. Creates a splash. Mimics a struggling insect.
So it's like an extra level of attraction.
Zag-zag.
To get those fish to bite.
Get their attention.
Okay, and then bass bugs, are those more about just like imitating a large insect sitting on the surface?
Not necessarily. Bass bugs come in all shapes and sizes.
Okay.
Some are designed to be retrieved with the swimming action. Others are meant to sit still and entice a strike.
It's amazing, like, there's a fly for every situation.
There really is.
So like, how do you even begin to, you know, navigate all these different types of flies?
Yeah.
It can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, it can be a bit daunting at first, but start by learning a few basic patterns that are effective in your local waters.
Okay.
Talk to experienced anglers. Visit your local fly shop and don't be afraid to experiment.
So, like, just dive in and start trying things out.
Exactly. The best way to learn is by doing.
I love that. So, I think we've officially covered the essential language of fly fishing, right? From, you know, back casts to wind knots. We've gone over a lot.
We've covered a lot of ground, but remember, This is just the beginning.
Right, there's always more to learn.
Fly fishing is a lifelong journey of learning and discovery.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes it so fascinating, you know? There's always a new challenge, a new technique to master.
Absolutely. And every time you step out onto the water, you're going to learn something new.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on this deep dive into fly fishing terminology.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there, we encourage you to embrace the challenge, explore the world of fly fishing, and most importantly, have fun out there.
Get out there and enjoy it.
Thanks for listening.